Next case for argument is Resource Technology versus Chiplease. Mr. Jordan.
If it pleases the court, counsel, Gregory Jordan from Chicago. And I'm here on behalf of Chiplease and Scatter Corporation with regard to our appeal of the order from Judge Weedoff in which he determined the final issue as to the existence of a contract between the Estate of Resource Technology and Allied Waste Systems and ADS. It is our position that Judge Weedoff, with all due respect to him, by going to the final issue, which was the existence of the contract, skipped well past the matter that was actually in front of him. The matter in front of him that day was, as the Accello court stated, the question of not whether the claim was frivolous or non-frivolous, but whether the trustee, what inquiry the trustee undertook into the facts and the law regarding the matter. Now, we were in a unique situation. There was, on March 16th of 2006, a settlement between the estate and Chiplease. As a part of that matter, amongst other things, there was a designation rights agreement. The designation rights agreement really turned the situation in which the trustee moved forward and sought to assume contracts into a situation in which Chiplease and Skattered had the right to designate certain contracts for assumption and assignment. As a part of that, Chiplease and Skattered undertook financial risks, and the trustee became, in essence, a neutral. I think it's important to note that on the exact day of the hearing in question, there were a couple other contracts that were up. They were relating to Ottawa and Columbus. In both cases, the trustee filed motions that he be compelled, notwithstanding there was, as the court noted, there was really no basis for him doing so. What the trustee appears to have done is to have said, in the case there's a defense, I am going to require that I be compelled. Now, that is far different, the fact that a defense may exist, from a situation in which the claim might rise to the level of 9011. In fact, in our particular case, what I would refer to, and I think has been referred to as the Allied contract, had already been the subject of a motion to assume and assign that the trustee filed. So he had a good faith basis. And the reason was is that the trustee had experience. He had, since his appointment in September 2005, been involved in various factual matters. And, in fact, at the hearing in June, that is a question here, we asked for an evidentiary hearing because we, coming in on March 16th, were strangers to what occurred and what happened with regard to the renewal and extension of the contracts. And we wanted, sorry, Your Honor.
So that is not standard language for this type of. There was some particular history behind that provision.
The designation, Your Honor?
Yeah. I mean, because I was curious, you know, why did the parties make the right to designate contingent on whether the estate believed in good faith that the designation would subject the estate to sanctions under Rule.
Well, Your Honor, a designation is a unique matter. It arose out of the Kmart case, I believe, where they used it there. And because, in essence, the trustee is stepping aside and saying, this is your ball, Chiplease and Skattered, run with it, the trustee is, it was saying that I don't want to have any problems because we've already gained our financial benefit. Our economic benefit was gained by the settlement. And that what we want is we want to protect any potential for downside. And 9011 is not based upon any potential for downside. It's based upon the fact of what the inquiry was and the nature of the claim. But here, because the trustee had no incentive to proceed at all, he was perfectly happy to be compelled so that he would do virtually nothing and we would do all the work. And in fact, in the case, and we have amongst the various contracts that are referenced that day, there have been a number of trials in which the trustee has been present but has not participated by examining witnesses or providing evidence in any way, because the trustee determined under the designation rights agreement, and I think properly so, because his job is to conserve the estate, I'm not going to do anything. That's Chip Lease's problem, or Scattered, or there's actually an S&A Illinois Investment Trust. It's its problem to undertake depositions, to provide exhibits, to examine witnesses, and my job is to merely show up. And in being compelled in the AD, in the Allied agreement, what he was doing was showing up. He was saying, I have no interest here because the assumption process and the assignment process is solely to the benefit of Chip Lease. The only matter that I could possibly have is if there's a defense, I don't want to have a downside. So the fact of the existence or non-existence of a defense was seems to be, from the scant record, because there's no undertaking by Judge Weedoff of determining what factual inquiry or examination that the trustee had. In fact, during that hearing, we requested that, and the trustee's counsel specifically stated that he would not allow his client to be examined that day. And I don't quibble with the trustee in terms of him protecting his downside, but what I do quibble
I've lost it. I thought the bankruptcy judge just made a very simple determination, which was that these agreements had expired, period. And therefore, the trustee, there's nothing the trustee could do to assume them because they'd expired. And if that's a correct finding, why doesn't that end the case?
Well, Your Honor, that's what he found. But the problem is noted that day, noted in June, there were discussions between Allied and the trustee with regard to the rejection of the contract after the date that it purportedly had expired.
But didn't everyone understand that Judge Weedoff entered the orders extending contracts, that he wasn't extending the underlying lines of the contract?
No, I don't think that anyone understood that except on the basis of
hindsight.
Well,
how can he extend the term of the agreement? How can a judge extend the term of a contract?
Where is language in the record indicating that he did extend the?
Well, there was an agreement between the parties.
No, there's plenty in the record showing that he kept doing all these extensions of time for the trustee decision to assume or reject. But where is it that he says that this extends the contract?
That is precisely why we needed the evidentiary hearing.
But what evidence would you have introduced in that hearing to show that the court extended the deadlines for the underlying contract?
What we would have done is examined the dealings between the trustee and Allied during that intervening period, because there was a very peculiar event that happened in January. I'm sorry, Ryan.
But you mean the trustee acting for the bankrupt might have extended the contract? Is that what you're saying?
No, Your Honor. The trustee doesn't have the right to extend.
Right.
Allied and the trustee did have the right to extend, and they did have meetings in
the right
January.
To extend what? What?
They had the right to extend mutually, agreeing to extend the term of the contract or some other agreement that would intervene there. And we had the right, I think, to inquire as to the dealings between the parties and their agreements. What we have is in the record, because, of course, once it's over, we can't do any discovery on this. We have the one-sided.
Well, the trustee clearly thinks he didn't extend the term of the contract.
I'm sorry?
The trustee clearly thinks he didn't extend the underlying contract.
With all due respect, Your Honor,
otherwise he wouldn't be worried about sanctions, right?
No, because the trustee, for instance, in the Ottawa case, in the Ottawa contract, there was an objection.
Well, let's talk about these contracts.
I'm using that to illustrate that the trustee did not. We have no idea what the trustee did or
didn't. Well, he knows what he did, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, but we never got to find out.
Well, I don't understand. If he thinks he's facing sanctions, then a fortiori, he doesn't think he extended the contract.
Not in this case, Your Honor. In this case, what the trustee was saying is, I am a neutral. I have no upside, so I would just as soon get compelled. Because there's evidence in the record on that day, that the transcript that's in the record here, that shows that there were contracts for which there was no real contest that he required to be compelled upon. And what we needed to do was determine what was the factual inquiry and the examination of the contracts that underlie his decision to seek to be compelled, as opposed to the fact that he just didn't want.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bohan?
May it please the court, counsel.
Could I just clarify something? What is your understanding of where this Rule 9011 provision came from? Why not just say there's no right to designate already expired, for example? What exactly were the parties anticipating the right to designate, subject to the trustee's satisfaction that he would not be subject to? I mean, this is such a new one for me.
From the fall of 2005, when the case was converted to a Chapter 7 and a trustee appointed, until March of 2006, see in the record the attempt by the trustee to extend the time to assume or reject what he called executory contracts. During that period, many of the counterparties to those landfill gas contracts, including my client, Allied Waste Industries, were arguing with the trustee that certain of the contracts on his list of supposedly executory contracts had in fact expired. So they weren't executory contracts, they weren't assets of the estate, they couldn't be assumed or rejected or assigned. That issue was never, the question whether those contracts had terminated or not kept being postponed. And at the time the settlement agreement between the trustee and Mr. Jordan's clients was first presented to the court and to the counterparties, the landfill owners, It included this provision that would have enabled Mr. Jordan's clients, Chipleys and Scattered, to compel the trustee to move to assume and assign contracts that the landfill owners were contending and had contended all along had terminated. The attorneys for the landfill owners communicated with the trustee and made clear that they wouldn't sit back and let the trustee essentially shirk off onto Chipleys and Scattered his obligation to file motions to assume and assign only in good faith those contracts which remained in existence. And as a result, you see in the designation rights agreement this requirement that the trustee cannot be compelled to file a motion in the bankruptcy court to assume or assign a contract that he in good faith does not believe is still alive.
If I might add,
when it turns out that the reference to bankruptcy rule 9011 was actually inserted not into the designation rights agreement but into Judge Weedoff's approval order at the last minute, in part in light of objections that were made during the process by which the parties appeared before Judge Weedoff arguing the merits of this proposed settlement agreement. And so Judge Weedoff even made more clear that this trustee would under no circumstances be required to do what Judge Weedoff deemed to be an illegal act, essentially, file a motion to assume a contract knowing it to have expired. The reference to Rule 9011, you'll see, appears in the approval order and not in the designation rights agreement.
What is a designation of rights agreement?
The designation rights agreement was a companion contract to the settlement agreement between Chipleys and Scattered on the one hand and the bankruptcy trustee on the other. By virtue of that agreement, the trustee essentially conveys to the purchasers, Scattered and Chipleys, the right, which ordinarily would vest in the trustee himself, to choose among the various executory contracts that are then part of the estate which ones to assume and which ones to reject. So that right is no longer, the trustee has now forfeited that right essentially or conveyed it to Chipleys and Scattered. And the concern of the landfill owners was in doing that, now who will be responsible for ensuring that only those contracts that truly exist at the time can be the subject of the motion. And that was the purpose for the insertion in the designation rights agreement of a reference to good faith and ultimately in the approval order to an explicit reference to Bankruptcy Rule 9011.
How do you respond to the argument in the reply brief that because the ADS agreement was always in operation, there was no need for the trustee to seek an extension of time?
The ADS agreement was entered in December 1995 and would have expired by its terms on December 21, 2005. Under paragraph 4, it could be renewed only by means of a communication, a notice of renewal, 30 days in advance of the termination period. Right.
So
now the trustee takes over this estate sometime in the fall of 2005, and he's confronted with a number of executory contracts that he's trying to determine which exist, which are live, which are dead, which should be assumed, which should be rejected. And he immediately does two things. With respect to all the executory contracts, those that arguably are still valid, still in existence, he asks the court for permission under Section 365 of the Bankruptcy Court for more than the 60 days he would ordinarily be entitled to make his decision whether to assume or reject. And as to those contracts where he was on the brink of running up against a renewal deadline, he did one of two things. He either asked Judge Weedoff to extend by court order the renewal deadline for the contract, or in our case, he came to us, the trustees' counsel wrote to us, and asked if we would agree, you know, just by an exchange of letters to extend the deadline by which he could renew the contract, which Ally did, giving him an additional 40 days approximately from November 21 of 2005 until the end of the year in which to send the renewal notice that would have then triggered the renewal period under the agreement. Now, so when the trustee came in before Judge Weedoff on these motions for an extension of the time, the deadline under Section 365, that had nothing whatsoever to do with whether the contracts were live or expired.
So the trustee didn't know what he was doing? Is that?
What the trustee told Judge Weedoff was, I need more time. Some of these contracts could have value to the estate. Please allow me more time in which to determine which do and which I should reject. But at the same time, that process was underway. And you'll see in the record a total of five separate requests by the trustee to Judge Weedoff to extend the period in which he can exercise his duties under Section 365. At the same time, some of these contracts are on the brink of expiring, and he seeks relief in a separate way with respect to those he wants to preserve. And the most critical document in the record is one which is not in the appellate's appendix. And that is the exchange of letters between the trustees' counsel and Allied on November 16th and November 19th of 2005. At exactly the same time, the trustee is going to the court asking for an extension of the deadline under Section 365. He specifically seeks out Allied and asks Allied by consent to agree to extend the contract renewal deadline.
But your argument is that there was no reasonable basis on the trustee to be doing this if the buyer.
No, the agreement, Your Honor, I'm sorry, I didn't make myself clear. The ADS agreement did not expire when the trustee first sought Judge Weedoff's approval under 365 to extend the period in which he could assume or reject. That's because we granted him an extension until the end of the year. It expired on December 31, 2005, because between November 16 and December 31, He neither came back to us asking for an additional extension, nor did he seek approval from the court to extend the deadline by some other means. Exactly what the trustee did and did not intend by his motions seeking extensions of the period under 365 to assume or reject, I think is clear just from the face of his motions, in which he defines very precisely the relief he's seeking. But it's also clear from the terms of the orders themselves, which address only the period in which he could assume or reject, and they have nothing to do with, they don't address in any way the question whether any of the contracts still exist or not. Judge Weedoff postponed until at least in March, any consideration of the question whether these contracts had been terminated or had expired by their terms. And finally, set a scheduling order in which he required the trustee to notify Chipleys and Scattered which of the contracts he was willing to move to assume and assign and which he was not. And it's through that process, which was contemplated in the designation rights agreement, and in the approval order, it was through that was the procedural vehicle by which this question was presented to Judge Weedoff. Not only, Your Honor, Judge Posner asked, you know, isn't the question whether the contract terminated? At the outset of the hearing on June 16th, Judge Weedoff stated the issue even more starkly. Not only is the contract still live or has it expired, but is there any credible argument for the other side? Essentially, is there any can you come up with any reasonable basis for arguing that this contract still exists such that it can be assumed and assigned? And the answer to that question was no. There was no basis for going any further in the process than Judge Weedoff did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Bohan. Mr. Jordan, your time expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like. I think his time expired.
Please, the Court, I'd just like to clarify. The 9011 language was, in fact, suggested by the trustee, and he did so. And I was involved in negotiations, and this is outside the record here, but just to clarify, because he felt himself a neutral and did not want to be the person pushing matters forward. The other thing that...
You say this is outside the record?
Well, Judge Rovner asked the question, how did the term come about? And I'm not sure whether anybody put in their facts the 9011 language came about because the trustee wanted it in the agreement. I'm just answering that question by trying to be fair. The other thing is that this contract there was a motion filed by this trustee on this contract to assume and assign. And then Allied objected. And then this trustee said, compel me. The issue here...
Well, what is the argument that the contract hasn't expired? Did you present that to Judge Weedoff? Did you say that there really is an issue here?
Your Honor, what we said is that we need to investigate that and have an evidentiary hearing to determine the agreements between the trustee and Allied, for which we were not parties, that occurred after the date...
And what was his response?
Is that he... felt that he didn't need an evidentiary hearing, that he looked at it and said, I can read the contract, but the fact is people can amend their contracts. We're new to it, but we're the real party in interest.
Well, did you make an offer of proof that, oh, you don't know, you didn't know what was in the contract.
Yeah. I could not have made an
okay.
offer.
Okay, right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Next case.